Come and behold him. We looked at what it meant that powerful angelic beings came to behold the Messiah who was born. He may have been a simple and vulnerable baby born into poverty, but he was born King of the Angels. Amen? This week we want to look at some very ordinary people who came to behold him. Next slide. Go back. Is that what I want? Go to the next slide. Thank you. Shepherds, yes. I want to talk about these shepherds. Want to paint a word picture for you this morning to understand who these guys were. And they were guys. Sorry, ladies. There were no shepherds that were ladies, I don't think, at the time. But I'm pretty sure there were not. But we're going to read the story first from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Shepherds were not very highly regarded people in first century Jewish society. The only people lower than shepherds on the social rung were tax collectors and prostitutes. The very people Jesus in his later ministry would be accused of spending too much time with. Why were the shepherds unwelcome in Jewish society? They were poor. They owned no land. They were single men, usually either too young to work in their father's trades or too old to work in a trade or to farm land, but too destitute to retire. So they were poor. They had nothing. They smelled like sheep, because they lived with the sheep, and they slept outside, and they seldom, if ever, got a bath. Of course, they didn't own the sheep. They were too poor for that. But they raised them for the landowners, and they cared for the sheep like they were their family. The sheep produced wool for clothing, milk for cheese, and some were selected for sacrifices at the temple. and were very important. The sheep were very important to the economy and the culture of first century Jews. Bethlehem had been a town with a thriving sheep market for well over 1,000 years before Christ was born. David came from Bethlehem, and he had been born into a family of sheep farmers, and he himself was the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. And he was considered good for nothing else than to be the family sheep herder. But he took his job seriously. He defended the sheep with his life, facing down wild animals such as lions and bears in defense of his flock. David, of course, because he started out as a shepherd, but became the most loved and most revered and most famous king in Israel's history, was a hometown hero of the town of Bethlehem, and an inspiration for the shepherds that at least something sometimes could happen in the life of a shepherd to make them valuable. Bethlehem was a sheep market because it was about 9 kilometers from the temple. Just far enough to keep the smell away, and just close enough to regularly bring sheep to market for sacrifices in the temple. Yes, these shepherds may not have been highly regarded, but the sheep they tended often served the highest honor in Jewish religion, that of giving their lives and their blood for the covering of the sins of the nation and foreshadowing the Lamb of God. It was no accidental coincidence that this one who would atone for the sins of all humanity was born here in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was built on a hill, and all the hill area around it was terraced farmland. Next slide. I took this picture when I was in Israel. And at the time, Bethlehem is in the West Bank area of Palestine. And at the time, there was military unrest. There were a lot of terrorism activity and so on. And so we were not allowed to go into the West Bank. So we didn't get to go to Bethlehem. And so we got as close as we could. They brought us to this hill across a valley from Bethlehem, and we looked on the town of Bethlehem and the hills of Bethlehem. And see, these are all terraced farmland and sheep grazing areas around Bethlehem. And so when Luke writes in his gospel, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night," we have a bit of a better picture that the shepherds were not far away from Bethlehem. They were not just out in the middle of some random field somewhere, but they were nearby in the terraced fields around the hills of Bethlehem, settled in for the night. When I was standing on this hill looking across the valley to Bethlehem, I was doing some teaching with the group that we had. And as I was teaching on this very subject, if we can go to the next slide. As I was teaching on this very subject, up over the hill came a little girl carrying a lamb, and it was a very special moment as we saw firsthand, the shepherds of Bethlehem in that spot. The shepherds, next slide. The shepherds would herd the sheep into pens like this. You can see the on the top of the stone wall there, which is the sheep pen. They put thorns to keep wild animals from leaping over the fence. And at night, when the shepherds are ready to bed down for the night, they would have all the sheep in the sheep pen, and one of the shepherds would literally lay down across the opening, and they would be the gate, the door to the sheep pen. It gives incredible insight into Jesus in John chapter 10, saying, "I am the door of the sheep pen, and no one comes in or out except through me." Right? Shepherds would get their sheep settled in for the night, and they would spend time around the fire, sharing a meal together and telling stories. Not just any stories, but the stories of their people and the stories of their God and the stories of the heroes of faith over the centuries. It's actually noted by sociologists and historians that these shepherds and similar Bedouin shepherds in the region that even today live the same kind of lifestyle are some of the most skilled groups of people at maintaining oral traditions. They were some of the least educated people in their culture, so they could not read, but they perfected the art of memorizing stories and telling stories, recounting them and repeating them with incredible accuracy and detail. Though these shepherds were cast off from society, they had their own social structure. The older shepherds would mentor the younger shepherds, not only in the art of shepherding and sheep keeping, not only in protecting the sheep, but in the arts of oral tradition and telling stories around the fires. So why did the angels come to these truly lowly shepherds? Next slide. Jesus came for everyone. When these smelly, unwanted, forgotten, invisible men heard the angels say, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people," I think these shepherds thought, you mean us too? Do you really mean all the people? You mean us too? You can't mean us shepherds. We've never been included in anyone's list. We've never received an invitation to any event. We've never been sent a message from someone important, especially from angel armies. And I think the first reason that the angels were sent to these men is to make evident to the world that God's message of grace and love, His message of hope to humanity, is no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter who your daddy is. It doesn't matter whether your job is one that brings great respectability or honor in society. It doesn't matter what wrongs you have done, what failures are in your past. It doesn't matter what you struggle with today. You are a candidate for the incredible message that God's Messiah has come. Next slide. Second reason I believe the angels were sent to these shepherds is the availability of the messengers. I mean, who else was up in the middle of the night in Bethlehem, right? Sometimes when God wants to get a message out, he uses the people that are simply best positioned to speak it. The shepherds, when they heard the message, they were very responsive. They left everything. I don't know, maybe they left somebody to make sure the sheep didn't get out, or maybe they just trusted they'd stay there for the night. But they went quickly and immediately to go obediently and see what had taken place. They left everything and went looking for the baby. And the scripture says in verse 17 and 18, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Folks, there are people you are positioned near, and God wants them to know something. People at your workplace, people with whom your kids go to school or daycare, people you share a fence line with, people you share a coffee with at Tim Hortons. These people are looking for hope even though they don't know it. They're looking for hope even though they don't look like it. It doesn't matter if you are the best person in the world to give the message. You are the one they know. You are the one God has positioned near them. You are the one with access to the message and the messenger, the one who sent the message. And you are the one with access to the one who needs to hear the message. Are you prepared to tell the good news? Are you prepared to seize the moments that come your way? The moments when the right question is being asked, when the right cue is being given, when the open door is right there in front of you to tell someone that God loves them. To tell someone that God sent a Savior just for them. That they can find freedom and life and hope and forgiveness by putting their trust in Jesus. Next slide. I think the third reason that the angels came to the shepherds was for accuracy of the message. Maybe the shepherds were chosen because they knew how to hear a message, lock it in, and transmit it accurately. They were highly practiced in the art of storytelling. They could hear a story and remember the details with clarity, and they could retell it later. Who else would the angels want to tell the astounding news that the Messiah, the Lord, had come? Who else would they want to tell where he was born and where to find him? I mean, who else knew where every manger in Bethlehem was? Right? They would be able to find the child much more quickly than anyone else. Verse 16 says, they hurried off And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Accuracy of the message. Let me ask you, do you know the gospel? I mean, I know that you trust in Christ. I know that you know that you've believed and trusted in the gospel, but do you know the gospel? If someone asked you today, what is this Jesus thing about anyways? Could you give them an answer? An answer that makes sense, right? If not, you might want to dig into that. You might want to do some research, look at what is the gospel? How could I communicate the gospel in 3 minutes to someone who asks me, what is this Jesus thing about anyways? Can I communicate, pass on the good news in a way that is compelling, in a way that will inform? Because I guarantee you, if you are truly living for Jesus, you will get questions from people who will say, what are you about? What is this Jesus thing about? Why do you do that? Why do you go to church on Sundays? Why? Right? All the open doors. And 1 Peter 3:15, we are told, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Right? Are we equipped? Are we prepared to accurately communicate the gospel to people in our lives? Next slide. And finally, this morning, yes, I said finally. Turkey's coming. It's okay. Just hang in there. I think that the angels communicated to the shepherds because they could really get good news of great joy. The shepherds were simple people. Their lives were not complicated with investments to worry about or political agendas to defend. And when the angels came with a clear but simple message, the simple shepherds could receive it just as it was. They were able to receive the good news for what it was and celebrate it. They came and found the Messiah that had been born. They came to behold the glory of God born into poverty in a barn. And they could recognize him for who he was. The Messiah, the Lord, the angels had said. And after they'd seen it all, experienced it all, worshiped at the side of a manger, verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They went back to their sheep different. They had met the Lamb of God. They had seen with their own eyes the promised and long-awaited Messiah, the son of David, the hero of Bethlehem. And everything would begin to change. They had been told by angels that this birth was good news that would bring great joy to everyone. And their praise to God as they excitedly returned to their sheep, their praise to God was joyful and triumphant because the Savior had come. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the worship team to come join us and those who are serving communion to get ready to do that. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate Christmas communion together. But if we can go to the next page, I want to ask today's question. Do you recognize maybe you're here today feeling just as low on the social rung, low on the rung of those who deserve it? Do you recognize that Jesus came for you? For you. That the love of God shown in the giving of His Son, in the sacrifice of Christ, in all that God has done for us, that love is for you. And then are you and I prepared, like the shepherds, to not only behold Jesus, but to share the message, the good news of great joy wherever we go, that our Messiah has come? So servers, will you come? We're going to prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning. If you're visiting with us, if you're here for the first time or have never had communion with us, I want you to know that if you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are welcome to celebrate communion with us today. So as the tray comes by, just take the cups. There are two cups, one inside the other. Bottom cup has a wafer in it. The top cup has juice. Just take the cups and hold on to them until we all have them in our hands and we'll take communion together. And if you are a person on a journey towards Christ and you're maybe not feeling that you're ready yet to receive communion, you're not ready yet to declare Christ Savior and Lord of your life, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're on a journey. We're glad that you're open today to learn and grow. But if you're not prepared to receive communion today, you can just pass the tray by. There's no judgment. We're just glad you're here. So let's worship with the team as they lead us.
In the darkness, we of heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered them. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of who were come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born.
Luke writes later in the same chapter, he continues to talk about the infant Savior that had come. Verse 25, he says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel." In other words, that the fulfillment of the promises that God had given to Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, just listen to this language of the Holy Spirit at work here. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents were brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. He was going to be circumcised and an offering made for cleansing from birth. Simeon took him in his arms, took the baby Jesus in his arms, and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, I can die in peace, right? "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Wow. You imagine having that level of revelation. He sees a baby and he just knows this is the one who is going to bring hope to our people, right? "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." That's everybody, right? You're either Jew or you're Gentile. And he's saying this is for the Jewish people and it's for the Gentiles, right? "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Speaking of the moment when she would stand watching as her son is crucified. Right? Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, and says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." How many know, without before Christ, we were walking an empty journey, right? Empty way of life, pursuing joy in things and peace in things instead of in God who loves us and gave himself for us. "It's not with silver or gold that you are redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so now your faith and hope are in God." Father, in this Lenten season, not Lenten, Advent season, this other season. In this Advent season, as we are thinking on, pondering on, aware of the coming of Christ, the incarnation of God into a little baby, and that little baby growing up to love humanity to the point of death on the cross, to the point of bearing on his body our sin, our guilt, our failure, our shame. We give you thanks today that it was not with silver or gold, but it was with the precious blood of Christ that we have been rescued. Our lives have been redeemed. We've been given forgiveness and hope and life. So as we take the emblem of the broken body, wafer, emblem of his broken body, recognize that God came in flesh, folks. That God came in flesh. That he took on his flesh my sin, your sin. That he died for us and for our freedom. So now, Jesus, we thank you for your body broken for us, for our sin borne to the cross, and the hope and life that we have because of what you have done. And we remember and worship you and honor you in Jesus' name. Let's take the emblem of his broken body. We hold the emblem of his shed blood, recognizing that it was with his blood that he purchased our freedom. Jesus, thank you for the power of your blood to redeem us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to make us new. Thank you for the power of your blood shed. we receive afresh today the cleansing, healing power of your blood. And we give you thanks. We remember what our freedom cost. And we give you thanks. Let's take the emblem of his shed blood. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Let's stand and sing it.
Praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise the Father,
praise the Son.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
You, Lord.